Amen. Today I want to begin a new series that I feel like the Lord is leading me to. And how many know that growing sometimes is not necessarily fun? Growing can be tough. I remember growing up as a child, it can be tough learning those difficult lessons and making those difficult mistakes. Of course, we as adults still do that, and which is one reason why God has directed me to talk about this, growing in greatness. And I believe that God wants us to grow, to continue to grow in Him, to be faithful to Him, even in the growing process. There's a greatness that God wants to achieve in our life, and it's not for our attention or to exalt us, but it's to exalt Him and to show that the world He is Lord and He is King. And so I want to start sharing today for the next few weeks, growing in greatness, and our scripture is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. It says this, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you've come to bring light, clarity, wisdom, encouragement today. And I thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word, that it's living and breathing, as Miss Bunny said. Lord, I pray that you'll give us eyes to see and a heart to receive you today, and the encouragement, Lord, to follow you in what we learn. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. In the Bible, God has given us a whole bunch of people that are people just like us, people that made mistakes, people that were bullheaded or hard-headed. So for some of us, few that fits that category, that God shows us that we can channel that in a way that can be pleasing to God. I was talking to somebody the other day, and talking about sometimes in these 2 and 3 and 4 year olds, how their determination is so strong, their self-will is so strong, and how they choose to use that in a good way, a positive way, or in a bad way, in a rebellious way. And so it's a good thing, but we have the ability to choose that even as adults. God puts greatness in us so that we can either use that greatness to follow Him or greatness to follow our own selfish motives and desires. But that greatness is there. What do we choose to do with that? Well, I believe that God wants to encourage us today in these next few weeks how to have the greatness of God in us, how to grow in us the greatness that He wants to achieve. I'm reminded of Billy Graham. He was 99 years old when he went to heaven. And what fruit that he had in his life. I mean, one of the great men in our lifetime that we saw and we see the fruit in, we'll all continue to learn from what Billy Graham did. He was close friends with Dr. Martin Luther King, and Dr. Martin Luther King praised him and said that my work would not have been the same in the Civil Rights Movement if it were not for Dr. Billy Graham. We see all these things that Dr. Billy Graham did. He was human just like us. He made mistakes like us. And we see those characters throughout the Bible. What made them great? What caused them to accomplish great things in their life? We all have the ability to do that. God has planted the ability for greatness in our life, every single one of us, from young to old. We're born with that. We're born with that. And so we can experience the greatness of God. The definition of growth, to grow in greatness, the definition of growth is a stage in the process of growing. It's a stage in the process of growing. And I love this definition. Progressive development. It's a progressive development. Sometimes we get frustrated when we try something for the first time. Back when I was younger, Crawford, you face this, I'm sure, all the time. People want to learn how to play guitar, learn how to play an instrument, and when they sit down for the first time and can't play it, they become frustrated the first time they sit down. Well, it's a progressive learning. It's the way it is with our walk with God. We're always learning. It's a progressive learning. We can't just wake up one day and say, okay, I want to do this or do that, and expect that we're going to do it as well as we will if we work and we are diligent in our pursuit to excellence. And we should take the same effort in our walk with God to achieve our relationship with God. Jesus is our perfect model, and there's not but one of Jesus Christ. He's our perfect example, our perfect model. And he's the one that we walk to achieve the greatness that God has put in us. This statement helps put it in perspective as I thought about this past week. I've never seen a great person with an easy past. I've never seen a great person with an easy past. God uses the development stages, the growth stages in our life to bring about greatness. We can't just throw the past away. We can't just make it go away. God, I'm not comfortable with that. Make that go away. No, God uses those things even in our past to bring about greatness in our future. There's never a great person, even in the Bible, as we'll see in these next few weeks, that achieved greatness in God, did great things from God, heard God's voice, that achieved that without something that they had to grow through. Growing can be a painful process. Hebrews 12:1 says this, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, lay aside every weight." I've got to lay aside every weight. We say, "Oh God, if you don't want me to have this problem, just take it away." There comes a time that I've got to lay aside the weight. I've got to choose not to go to that thing that is a weight that holds me back from God. That's part of growing. We throw off those things that hinder us and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance. Endurance, man, that's a tough word. That requires sweat. That requires effort. That requires stretching. That requires difficulty. Endurance, the race that is set before us. Today I want to talk about Noah, and I want to bring out a few things about Noah's life. We know Noah. We learned in Sunday school that Noah was great. He built this huge, great ark even before there was rain. In the days of Noah, it wasn't raining. There was no rain because everything was watered by natural springs. And so these natural springs would water everything. And so when God said, "I'm going to send a flood to the earth," Noah believed God. Noah believed God. There was a time that sin was so prevalent that God said, "I'm going to destroy all of mankind and all the animals. But Noah, I want you to build an ark. I want you to build this thing. I want you to put it together." He gave him the dimensions. He gave him everything that he needed to do that. And it took some 120, 130 years to build this boat. That's a long time. But Noah achieved the greatness in his life. How did Noah, a man just like us, how did he achieve such greatness in his life? There was sickness. There was no sickness in the day of Noah like there is today. And so God, the sin though of the people, the sin got God's attention, and God became dissatisfied with the way that people were going. I believe there's probably some correlation here today in the ways that things were going in the time of Noah. Noah, he started building the ark at 600 years old. His father was Methuselah, which was 969 years old, the oldest man ever to live. And witness was prevalent. People didn't believe in God. They didn't recognize their need for God. They didn't pursue God. And so Noah was that one person that God chose to make a difference. So Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 and 8 says, "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart." Verse 7, "So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I've created from the face of the earth. Behold, are both man and beast, creeping thing and birds in the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." There was something that transpired in Noah's life that God was pleased with, namely that God was there to hear God's voice. And so Noah found grace. Noah found grace, the Bible says. And so there are some things that I believe that God built in Noah's life that he brought. Why did God choose Noah at 600 years old to all of a sudden build this ark? Why didn't he choose him when he was 40 years old or 50 years old, 60? There was a progressive development in Noah's life, I believe, that it was a time where Noah would hear God. There was a lot of work in Noah's life prior to him hearing the voice of God, something that would be impossible to believe, we as humans. It's going to rain. Well, what's rain? You're going to flood with the rain. How can you flood with something that I don't even know what it is, and I'm going to build a boat to prepare for it for over 100 years? And so Noah, I believe, was established during that time, at that age, to do what God called him to do. What about all the other years prior? Can you imagine, God, I'm 600 years old now. Why didn't you wait until, why didn't you do this when I was a little bit younger, when I was feeling a little more spry? We think we get tired when we get 50 years old. He was 600 years old. But the first thing that Noah did, he listened to God. He had an ear for God. Isaiah 28:29 says, "This also comes from the Lord of hosts, who is wonderful in counsel and excellent in guidance." Noah knew that he could trust God. He listened to God's voice. He knew that listening to God was the right thing to do. Even when I'm sure friends and possibly even family at that time were saying, "Noah, why are you listening to God?" Noah knew that the purpose of his life was going to be fulfilled as he listened to God. God had the key to Noah's life. God has the key to our life. Even in the middle of questions, even in the middle of impossibilities as we see it, even in the middle of sickness, even in the middle of confusion, God has the answer. Noah chose to listen to God. In Genesis chapter 1, chapter 7 and verse 1 says, "Then the Lord said to Noah, 'Come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation.'" God wanted to save Noah. God wanted to save every person on the earth. But there was only a certain few people that would listen to the voice of God. Noah chose to listen to God. That's the first thing we've got to do, is learn how to listen to God. Learn how to hear his voice. Because if not, there are temptations in our life to go a different way than what God would have us to go. Because God's way of doing things most times is non-traditional. It's not the way we have learned to do things sometimes. Why? Because God wants to see who we're listening to. Whether we're listening to the pressures of our society, pressures of this one or that one, pressures of those who are influential, those that we're taught to listen to. We're to honor those in authority over us. Yes, that is the Bible. But we need to listen to God and listen to his instruction and his way of doing things, because his way of doing things is the only right way to do it. I can't tell you the number of times when I've sought God's face and said, "God, I don't know what to do in this situation." And his answer to me doesn't make sense to me. But as I've learned to act on his voice, I see that God had a purpose in telling me to do what he told me to do. Listening to God, that requires effort. That's part of that growing process. I think it was Friday afternoon. I got home a little early, and Rocky is our little 3.5-year-old Dotson. Rocky is very smart, smart as a whip, and a little bit rotten. He's a mama's boy. That doesn't make him rotten. He's just rotten. So every afternoon when I get home, he's excited to see me and go in the house, and he's got to go out. It doesn't matter if he's been out 5 minutes ago. He's got to go out. When she's home with him alone, she always puts him on a leash. We live in an area out on the marsh to where we get some critters every now and then. I think one time Crystal got home and there was about a 4 or 5 foot alligator sitting in the driveway welcoming her home. And so we see all kind of critters and deer and things like that. Well, Friday afternoon, it was daylight and it was hot, boiling hot. I ran out. We went out in the back and went down the steps. And no sooner I got out of the back door that Rocky was already on the paver at the bottom of the step sniffing a big fat snake. And this snake was not a pretty snake. The biggest part of his body was bigger than my wrist. And he was stretched out. And when Rocky approached him, he came off that bottom step, and he was maybe 12 inches from that bottom step. Rocky went straight to him. And when I saw that snake, I don't know what kind he was, but I have hair on my arm standing up right now. And it did for about 10 minutes Friday afternoon. I yelled for Rocky. Rocky! Rocky, come here, Rocky! I mean, because as Rocky approached that snake, and he was real easy about approaching him, he went to sniff him. And whatever that snake was, he reared his head all the way back to the pavement with his mouth wide open. I sent a picture of him to our son, Josh. I said, "What is this?" I copied Crystal on it. She said, "It's a snake." I said, "Okay." Thank you for a wise wife. So anyway, Josh answered me back. He said, "Well, Dad, it looks like either a water moccasin or a cottonhead." And he sent me a picture of a water moccasin and copperhead, and sure enough, he had a big wide stripe down the side of both sides of the snake did. And anyway, I didn't take the picture while I was standing there, believe me, but I got Rocky. I eased down to Rocky and picked him up and put him in the house, and as I guess it scared the snake away. Once I gained my composure and went in the house and text Josh, and of course got Aunt Crystal's answer back before time, I went back down there and saw him lying underneath the step that we went down. He was underneath there, coiled up underneath. And so I was able to zoom my camera in and then take a picture of him. He had two stripes down both sides of his head. But I was thinking about that. Had Rocky not heard my voice and stopped immediately in mid-sniff, he froze because Daddy was yelling to the top of his lungs. I'm not sure Rocky could have been damaged for life, especially one of those two snakes that are pretty dangerous. And so that's the way we are. God wants to spare our life, and many times he calls our name, and unless we're listening and know his voice, we could be damaged for life. It could be serious. Now, that doesn't mean that God's grace and his mercy doesn't heal us and provide for us and all those things. Thank God he does, because we've all been in a place where we've been bit before. Has anybody ever been bit spiritually? Bit, and we carry scars. Of course, those scars are a testimony of God's healing power. But listening to God's voice is very key to our life. Learning when he says to stop. Learning when he says to go. Learning when he says to slow down. Learning when he says to watch. Learning when he says to speak. Learning when he says to hush. God's not real complicated. He gives real to the point answers. Not necessarily the answers that we always want. Listening to the voice of God. Secondly, we've got to trust God. We've got to trust God. We won't listen to instructions for someone unless we trust them. We will not listen to instructions from anyone that we don't trust. We might hear it, but we don't listen. We must trust God. So when he speaks and we listen, we trust it and we follow through. We've got to trust God's voice. And many times, as I said, it's non-traditional. Sometimes God's answer is outlandish, we think. God, that doesn't make sense to me. Has anybody ever said that? God, that doesn't make sense. Why would you tell me to do that? That's got to be me. It can't be you telling me to do that. It can't be you telling me not to respond to that. That can't be you. Yeah, it could be God. If we don't trust the messenger, we won't trust the message. God said to say this too for somebody. Sometimes the very person God sent in your life to help you is the very person you despise the most. But Noah knew that there were greater things in his life that God wanted to do. Noah knew that there were greater things that he was to accomplish. That would seem to be something far greater, something far bigger than Noah could accomplish. God gave him the answer. Noah was listening. And most importantly, Noah trusted God. He trusted God. 2 Corinthians 16:9 says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him," or whose heart trusts him. God is looking for those few that will trust him. Trust him at his word. Trust what he says is truth. God, here I am. Whatever you say, that's what I'm going to do. Ezekiel 22:30 says, "So I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found no one." God's plan includes you. God is not exempting you from his plan, but we've got to listen and we've got to trust him. God wants you part of the solution. God is not a God who dwells on the problems. He's not wringing his hand this morning. He's not worried. He's not biting his fingernails. God is the God of solutions. God is a God of answers. God is not a God of dwelling on problems and the overwhelming anxiety that it brings and the sleepless nights. That's not God. God's not the God of confusion. God is the God of clarity. God is the God of peace. God is the God of healing. And so you could be the key to changing your world and being great in Christ. Third, Noah had a heart to serve. Noah had a heart. He had a desire to serve. I'm sure Noah, you know, living 600 years old, he must have been a wise man. And he probably had plans for his children, his grandchildren. He might have had trips and vacations planned. He was going to build a fire pit. He was going to get, I'm sure there were things, there were goals in Noah's life that he wanted to accomplish, that he wanted to be good to his family. He put all that on hold. Every day he was working on that ark. Now, he may have had a job in addition to that. I'm not sure. But over 100 years he was dedicated to building this ark. God's plan became priority in Noah's life. Noah had no other priority except to serve God. He had a heart to serve God. Hebrews 11:7 says this, "By faith Noah, being divinely warned of these things not yet seen," he hadn't even seen them, "moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith." That's faith, a heart to serve God, to listen to God, to trust God, to serve God. That requires faith on our part. Noah clearly had faith. There was nothing special about Noah, no more than anything special about you. You are just as special as Noah. We're just as special as Noah. Noah listened to God. He had a heart to serve God. Noah gave himself unselfishly to God's plan. God, this is your plan. This is important. And when we do that, when we give our heart to God, did you know that when we delight in God, that the Bible says he'll fulfill the desires of our heart? Your desires will not go unanswered. You're going to sacrifice everything. God's going to use you. He's going to accomplish his work, and you're going to suffer. I don't believe that. That's not biblical. Psalm 37:4 says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." The closer we get to God now, the more sharp my desires become. But we have desires. There are things we want to accomplish in our lives, in our children's lives, in our grandchildren's lives. There are things that we want to accomplish, whether it's in business, whether it's in relationships, whether it's in your family. There are things that you want to accomplish and you desire to accomplish, and God wants those fulfilled. But we've got to first, as Matthew says, we've got to make him first. We've got to make him priority. God's plans need to be our priority and not something or someone else. If something else takes precedence over God, then that is our God. That thing, that person is our God rather than God being our God. But as we delight in him, Noah did that. Noah delighted in God, and God fulfilled the desires of his heart. God will do that for you too. Delight in God. Don't focus on the problem. Focus on God being the solution. We don't have to try to figure out a solution. That's not... We could, on our best day, we can't scratch the surface of God's worst plan. I mean, God's plan exceeds anything we could ever imagine or think. It's always better. It's always better. We've got to trust Him. We've got to delight in Him. We've got to have a heart to serve Him, a heart to go after Him. Number four, not be afraid to stand. What does that mean? Not to be afraid to stand. That means when God calls you to do something, just as He called Noah, Noah wasn't afraid to go out there and have his equipment and all right there in the driveway for all the neighbors to see. HOA was not happy with Noah. They had a problem. What are you doing with this big boat in your driveway? You know the rules of HOA. We're going to have to talk about this. But Noah was not afraid to stand. He was not afraid to make a statement before the people around him questioning, Noah, what in the world are you doing? Have you lost your mind? He was following God. He was not afraid to stand. Let me tell you this. As God gives us instructions, the more we'll stand out. God's ways are not our ways. His ways are not our thoughts. The Bible says that His ways are higher. They're greater. They're better. And so if we follow God's ways, we'll not be afraid to stand out. That takes faith in God, knowing that we're sin of God and that we're doing God's word. Things that possibly we're doing today as we stand on God's word are going to be non-traditional because why? We're trusting God. We're trusting in God to do what He says He will do. We have to be wise. We have to be wise and we have to have faith. We have to have faith. Noah was not afraid to stand. He stood out. This was Noah's first time building this boat, too. He didn't have a patent on it. This wasn't his third time around, fourth time around. This was his first time. But yet he gave all that he had, and he knew that he was going to be standing out and that he would get some attention that he really wasn't fond of. He knew that the neighbors were going to say things, people were going to say things, people were going to accuse him of not knowing what he was doing. But he was not afraid to make a difference in his world. God wants to use you to make a difference in your world today. God wants to use you to be the mouthpiece of His word, just like Miss Bunny was saying a while ago. Praise God for the miracles. God will do, I believe, more and more miracles as we trust God that He's at work. It had never rained, but Noah built the boat anyway. He was not afraid to stand out. Proverbs 29:25 says, "The fear of man brings a snare." We're so concerned about what men will think. That brings a snare, the Bible says. But whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. That means that God will call us to do some things that are not necessarily received by everybody. They'll be a little different. The way we do things and how we do things and the timing that we do things. I don't understand it myself and I can't explain it to you. But all I can say is that we trust God and not afraid to take a stand. And if we live to please man, if that's our goal, to live to please man, we want to know what they're saying so I can tailor my actions after what they say and what they want, it brings frustration, burnout, and failure. There's nothing of God in that. But living to follow and to please God brings peace, joy, and greatness. Following man is frustration, burnout, failure. You know why? Because once we meet their qualifications, then they're going to change it. That's just the way man is. Man's never satisfied. You achieve this, oh, by the way, now you need to do that. Well, you run and do that. Reminds me of when we were trying to get the preschool off the ground and all the meetings that we went to some 8 years into this thing. And we'd meet that qualification. Well, by the time we met it, something changed. So we had to run over here and do this. You talk about it, it makes me tired thinking about it. Whew, thank God we made it. But that's what pleasing man does. I mean, when it's government, what can you do? You jump through the hurdles and you have a smile on your face. Praise God, I'm glad you told me to do that. But pleasing God, following God, see, His word never changes. His word never changes. What he says, he means. And what he means, he says. And that's what will bring peace and joy and greatness. We still have to obey the speed limit. We still have to do the things that those over us have told us to do. So I'm not saying we're to be rebellious and to show ourselves, but we are to follow God and to trust him. And when we do that, we'll stand out. Not for our sake. It's not for our greatness. It's not for us to be known. It's for the glory of God. It's for the glory of God. So this growing, this stretching is uncomfortable. Something that's never been done before. Can sometimes be unreasonable. Five, and lastly, Noah knew that God was always present. He knew that God was always present. God was there with him. Just as I knew that God was with me when I saved Rocky's life from the mouth of that, whatever that was. God was with me. Thank God. God isn't scared of a snake. God isn't scared of the devil. God isn't scared of your situation that's hounding you and chomping at you. And God's not afraid of that either. God is with you. He's with you to bring peace, comfort, to give you wisdom, to give you a word, to cause you to be strong in him. How can I be strong when I'm facing this thing? Through the strength of God, knowing that he is always with you. God is always present. Noah knew that God was with him, giving instruction only by the hand of God. Matthew 28:20 says, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. Say always. Always. Say it again. Always. Even to the end of the age. You're never alone. You're never alone. God never leaves you alone. He's always with you. There are signs all around us today of the greatness of God, that he's with us. I mean, the very breath we're breathing right now that we take for granted. We wouldn't know it if we weren't breathing, but thank God we know it. We're breathing. Every single one of us. We're alive because of God. He's never not with us. God spoke to Noah. Noah responded. God is speaking to us today. He's with you. What are you facing today? God wants to do great things in your life in spite of the things that you're facing. See, if the devil knows that he can eat your lunch by hitting certain buttons and doing certain things in your life, he came to kill, steal, and destroy. So he's going to use those things as good as he can to cause your eyes to be off of God. And so if our eyes are on God anyway, in spite of these circumstances, it defeats the devil because he's not conquering you. He's not having his way over you. He's not getting victory over your mind and over your actions and over your heart and over your attention. We're to keep our eyes on God and knowing that he's always with us. We can trust him, listen to him, follow him, and know that he's with us. See, God is doing that development process in each one of us. If we were to live to be 600 years old, there's something that God is building in us. There's a learning, there's a growing, there's a maturing that I believe all the days of our life, every single day of our life, God will use to cause us to mature in him. And it's to be a blessing in your life. It's to be a blessing in our children's life and our grandchildren, to those around us. Because there are some people who are not in church today because they don't think God cares. They don't think God cares about their situation, but God cares about your situation today. God is the God of your situation. There is no situation exempt from the hand of God and God's answer in our life today. And as I was thinking about the age of Noah and why he was so old, the Lord spoke to me just that quick, and he said, you're never too old for me to use you. You're never too old for me to use you. Never. And so many times we live life and we think we've served our purpose. So for these next few years I've got on this earth, I'm just going to kick back and let somebody else do it. No, there's something for you to do. There's a plan that God has in your life. And if there's one thing that you take away from this today, and that is that God is working in your life, and he's not through with you yet. God is not finished with you. When the time comes that God has done with us, we'll be in heaven. But not until then. As long as we're on this earth, there's something that God wants to do through your life. That's how special you are to him. And so Noah was 600 years old when he built this ark. He could have done that any of the 500 years before that, but God chose that moment and that time. God is choosing this moment and this time for you to do something great for him. And it's not by your might, it's not by your power, but it's by God. It's by his spirit. It's by God's spirit. It's by his strength. You don't have to conjure up something. You don't have to make anything happen today. You don't have to say, well, after I'm in 4 years of college, then I can do something. No. Chris and I were having this conversation, I think, in the last couple of days. And we were in our 20s. We didn't, nothing, no offense against 20-year-olds. We didn't know anything. You know, we did know something. I was 18 years old and she was 20 and we loved each other. And so we got married. But that's all we knew. That's about it. We jumped into this thing. It's a good thing we didn't think a few years about it. We jumped into it. But you know what? We poured our heart into it. At 18 and 20 years old, we faced some stuff, but we did it. Now 36 years later, I don't know where the time has gone. Maybe we'll write a book one day. But God has done some great things, but many times we stop ourselves from getting in there and doing what God's put in front of us because we don't think, well, I'm not qualified. What do I know? We know now we didn't know much, but thank God we didn't know that we didn't know much. We got in there anyway. We got in there, we rolled our sleeves up and we did what we knew that we were supposed to do. We weren't afraid to learn. We weren't afraid to be corrected. And that happened a lot with me than it did with her, believe me. To grow up. And to learn about God. But if we'll start right where we are today, not try to make things happen, I'm not saying go quit your job and move to a foreign country. If God tells you to do it, do it. But why not do what God has put right in front of you to do today? Start right there. Thank God we did that. When I was in my mid-20s, I was thinking, man, I was born and raised here. Crystal was too. I want to get out of Brunswick. This little town is too small for me. I got some big plans here. And so I was thinking in my mid-20s, getting out of Dodge. It could be California. Let's go somewhere. I even made phone calls. I met with a guy. I said, what you got? Every door shut. God protected me. He said, no, I want you to stay right here. I got some things for you to do right here. I tried to talk God out of it, and he didn't listen. He didn't listen. So we rolled our sleeves up, and we got down to it, and now all these years have passed by, and I say, God, thank you that you know more than I know. Thank you that you did close some doors that should have been closed. Thank you, Lord, that you didn't let me do something too stupid where I went off the side of a cliff. You know? God loves us. God's got purpose. Why not start right where you are today? What is in your heart? What has God put in your heart that you're afraid of today? I'm sure Noah had some sleepless nights thinking about the blueprints that he drew up that God told him to do this and to do that. But he did it anyway. Don't talk yourself out of following what God wants you to do. God's looking for some people today that will say yes. Yes, God, I will do what you say do. No matter what they say, no matter what kind of opposition I get, God, I choose to say yes. And I believe that the good portion of you right here in this room and listening to me right now, you wouldn't be here if that wasn't your heart. That's your heart. And I believe that if God could change this entire world with 12 people, and most of them had some issues, that God can choose us to do what he wants to do right here in this county. He's looking for you. God's plan involves you. Crawford, come on up. When Billy Graham was asked, "What's your secret?" this is what Billy said. Mr. Graham said, "The secret of my work is God." Wow. He said, "I would be nothing without God." Who will we represent in our life? Who will we choose to side with? I know we don't hold up the sign, "I'm for that one and I'm for that one," but our hearts are turned toward one or the other. Our heart to pursue is to one direction or another direction. Our heart is to please man and do what they think is best, or our heart is to follow God and do what he says is the truth. That's the choices that we have today. I want to tell you that God has called you today to raise you up to be a soldier for Jesus Christ. And a soldier is one who is prepared to fight. What are we fighting for? We're not fighting for our natural freedom as much as we're fighting for spiritual freedom today. A freedom that God says where he is, there's liberty, there's freedom. And that's where the Lord is. I believe that the Lord dwells in your heart today. I believe God wants to bring in your life a spirit of freedom, not to be bound by the things of this world, not to be bound by the cares and the concern of this world. I said last week, if you're watching 30 minutes of news a day, you're about 29 minutes too much into it. We need to be more focused on the Word of God and not be so focused on what man is saying today. Am I going to tailor my life out of what the newscast says? No. I choose to tailor my life out of what Jesus Christ says today. He's building soldiers in us. He's building a group of people that will take him at his word. God, if you said it, I believe it. And I believe it, I'm going to take it all the way. God, I choose to say yes today. There are some battles that God wants you to conquer. And he's given you the power to conquer. That's not to say that he's not going to put people around you. That's not to say that he's going to work some miracles out in your life. He'll do all those things too. But I want you to know today that God is building in you the ability to face your battle and to conquer it with the power of Jesus Christ. Do you believe that?